This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio United Kingdom. For further information, please visit our website www.twr.org.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Exchange. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we're going to be asking our guest some big questions. So I hope you're ready for this edition of The Exchange when we're going to be joined by the author, Steve Maltz.
As such, you know, you will fight battles and you will, you know, you won't necessarily win the small ones, but what you will know is that God is always with you. You'll have hope in your heart. You've got the hope of eternal life. You've also got the hope that God is with you, whatever is thrown at you. And this doesn't mean that you're going to have an easy life, but it means you're going to have a life of purpose.
Steve Maltz is our special guest today, and he's the author of a new book called The Other F Word, Faith, the Last Taboo. I have lots of interesting questions to ask him, but whilst we get him lined up, here's the song The Real Jesus by the band Down Here.
Show Jesus in a dream, looking all serene. Jesus on a steeple, Jesus in the gallop poles. Jesus has his very own brand of rock and roll. Watched him on the silver screen, bought the action figurines. Jesus is the only name that makes you. Turning point of time. Jesus sparked a controversy. Jesus, known for his mercy, gave a man his sight. Oh, Jesus isn't white. Jesus loves the children, holds the lambs. Jesus prays a lot. Jesus has distinguishing marks.
Let your love unveil the mystery.
are now joined on The Exchange by our guest Steve Moles, author of the book The Other F Word, Faith, the Last Taboo, which is published by Saffron Planet. Steve, thank you for joining us. Why do you think faith is a taboo subject?
It's the way that society has gone, particularly over the last decade. Our society has become more and more, let's say, godless and more secular. Faith has been just pushed into the margins, and, you know, as we can see, you know, Christians tend to be taken less and less seriously by society. And for that reason, it's just this word faith has become, in a word, really a taboo. It's almost, you know, it's I suppose it's seen as a joke rather than anything more sinister, but it really is difficult for us Christians to sort of be able to speak the same language as those who are non-believers.
Steve, I became a Christian probably less than 10 years ago, just.
Right.
How do you think faith has changed over the past decade?
Well, I suppose let's define faith. Firstly, we could say faith in general, faith in something, say, supernatural and outside of ourselves. Obviously, we're talking about faith in Christianity. I think it's this rise of rationalism. You know, we've seen many attacks, particularly over the last 3 or 4 years, perhaps 5 years, with these new atheism, people like Richard Dawkins and people like that, who have popularized the idea of God not actually even existing. And unfortunately, these books are sort of written and are written in a way that are very sort of popular for people. And these people are very articulate on the radio and on TV. So the general public tend to sort of take this stuff in. And what we haven't seen is a really good, solid, understandable response from anyone in the Christian community to really sort of counteract this. So I think perhaps this is one reason why I wrote this book. Yeah, just my small part in hopefully reclaiming the land for God, I think.
Is it something that's always been on your mind to write a book like this?
Interestingly, not. Well, many years ago, I wrote a book called The Truth Is Out There, which was an apologetic, and it simply sort of gave reasons for actually believing in a God. That book was quite well received, but since then, my sort of writing career sort of took off into... It stayed in the Christian area, but I started writing about other subjects, but... Suddenly, I think July this year, over a 3-week period, God just put this book on my heart, and it just took me 3 weeks to write, and that wasn't even full time. And, you know, I just knew sometimes when God puts something in your heart, unless you pour it out, unless you do something with it, it's going to really sort of weigh on you until you do something about it. So I have to say this, for me, was a God thing. You know, he just wanted me to write this, and hopefully people will read it.
Steve, whenever I hear Christians talk about the way that faith has gone down here in the last 10 years, normally, I mean, like you've said, normally the new atheism is suggested as a reason. Do you think that we're partly to blame for it as well, though?
In a way, I suppose the enemy, the devil, or whoever you may want to call him, you know, wants to see God marginalised in society. And he's found some very willing vehicles, sort of people to actually sort of do this to us. And this would never happen if there had been a solid Christian foundation in our country. I think gone are the times when we could call upon people in public life who were known for their Christian faith, and demonstrably so, who were actually doing the stuff as well as saying the stuff. Because there's no real response from the Christian community in a way that sort of makes sense to the common man, this sort of atheism is going to sort of gain ground. You know, when you ask someone in the street to name a Christian, they think Archbishop of Canterbury. It's not that they respect him, but he is the, or people like him, people, you know, the dog collars are the popular face of Christianity. What we need is more normal people, like you and me, to be out there, you know.
It's an interesting point, actually, Steve, because you watch a lot of TV programmes now, so drama programmes. The Christians are nearly always really creepy and have ended up killing someone, or they're just wet and they don't have anything about them.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's affected the way that a lot of people see the church and Christianity?
It has to be. You know, our society lived their life through the media, particularly through television. And not that I watch that many soaps, but, you know, I do remember that, you know, characters in say, like EastEnders and Coronation Street, if they were Christian, you knew there'd be something wrong with them. you knew that their Christianity could be a front for something more sinister, or could just mean that this person is very judgmental. Very rarely do you see a very positive role model coming out of the media. And I'm afraid that is just a reaction to what they see us Christians do in real life. You know, so it really starts with us. You know, if we were better role models, then perhaps the media would, you know, reflect that.
Every year we hear the new statistics, don't we, about how many people seem to have dropped out of the faith. Well, we hear varying statistics. Sometimes we hear surveys that say more and more people are Christian, yet their beliefs don't seem to match to what you and I would understand as Christian belief. Why do you think the churches seem to be emptying?
Well, this is an interesting one, because some would say that the churches are not relevant enough and we should bring more of the world into the church. And I don't agree with that. You know, I believe that the world needs to see the church as something different, something real, something that hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and it's not just sort of merging itself into society. I think there is this form of Christianity that is very, very superficial, and many people that say in the olden days there used to be these Billy Graham rallies, for instance, and what the perception was that you listen to a sermon, you got taken away, carried by the sort of emotional atmosphere. You go to the front and you just repeat a few prayers, and then you are told, now you're a Christian, go and do whatever. It's not about that. It's, you know, it's discipleship. It's about allowing Jesus to work in your heart. It's not about saying this formula and suddenly you're a believer overnight. So what I'm saying is, if more people, you know, took being a Christian more seriously and acted on their faith rather than just fed their brain on facts and figures, then I'd say we could be a better witness. When you go back to the 19th century and you saw people like William Wilberforce, for instance, who are strong believers but did stuff in society to prove their faith, you know, we don't see enough of that. You know, it's us, we're the bad witnesses. You know, it always falls down at our feet. We have to get it right.
When I became a Christian, I think I was led down a path with a bit of a myth, because people seemed to suggest that when I became a Christian, my life would become easier. I'd have this massive friend who would slay down anyone that got in my way. When I became a Christian, I nearly gave it in, because I figured out actually that wasn't true. And if anything, my life became harder. Do you think we need to do more to encourage people and to teach people what Christianity actually means once they become Christian?
Absolutely. Usually you find, if you have become a real believer and you really have Jesus in your heart, you then realize that you have been entered into a battle. You have consciously taken the sides in an internal conflict. As such, you know, you will fight battles, and you will, you know, you won't necessarily win the small ones, but what you will know is that God is always with you. You'll have hope in your heart. You've got the hope of eternal life. You've also got the hope that God is with you wherever is thrown at you. And this doesn't mean that you're going to have an easy life, but it means you're going to have a life of purpose. And, you know, it's not for wimps. You said earlier, you know, the perception of Christians as wimps and woolly-minded. And, you know, that's just not true. You know, those who are really strong warriors of the faith, people that tend not to sort of be known about, you know, the little old ladies who are sitting in their back rooms praying constantly, intercessing for people. They're the front line. People don't see that. And they are in incredible battles. I mean, I've known many prayer intercessors who have the hardest life of all. But they're the warriors. You know, it's the opposite to how the world sees it. And that's how, you know, we've really got to take this thing seriously.
I'm going to ask you possibly to speculate a bit now, but what do you think would happen if we decided as a church to return to that biblical church of the first apostles?
Well, we could aspire to it, and I believe that it is attainable, but there's 2,000 years of history that sort of can be a blockage. In order to sort of get back into and to do things in the way that Jesus and the first apostles did, we need to be able to think in the way that they did. I would say you have to think Hebraically, and you haven't got 2 hours, so I can't explain to you the history of Greek thinking in the church. But that has been the barrier between how the church started out 2,000 years ago and how it has become over the last 2,000 years. So I would say that we can aspire to it, but we need to really take it seriously if we want to change our mindset into the way that God would want us to be.
So do you think that the Greek influences have really changed the faith, have made it into something almost different?
Yeah, I mean, the most subtle thing, and you know, probably the best summary I can think of, is that at the beginning, at the time of Jesus, the Christian faith, obviously after the time of Jesus, was God-centred. What has happened over 2,000 years, it's become gradually more and more man-centred. So we now have a Christianity in which we Christians tend to create our own programs of events. We create schemes. We have formulas for getting back to God. None of it has actually come from God. We look at prosperity gospel. It's all man-centred, and there's so much of this type of sort of secular and materialistic Christianity or carnal Christianity, which has come as a result of subtle Greek influences in our life. And again, this is a big one and probably not something I can explain that quickly, but it has come through Greek thinking over the last 2,000 years.
Steve, if you're right on all of this, how sure can we all be, all Christians, of our salvation?
Well, I would say if you're a Christian and you are worried about your salvation, then God is already working on your heart, because he's made you worry about it. He's made you concerned about it. And so all you need to do is to go back to scriptures and take all the promises that you'll find there in the Bible and to actually have this assurance of your salvation. There are many Christians out there who just pay lip service to what they've read and what they've heard. And in many ways, there are many Christians that are perhaps not even saved, and they really need to get their act together. If you have it in your heart that you think that you're having this worry about your salvation, then I'd say you don't need to worry. Because if you're worrying, then it means that God is working on you. You really, all you need to do is go back to the Bible and just know that God is totally with you, and every word that he's written is true. And that's what I'd say to that.
Well, Steve Maltz, the author of the book The Other F Word, Faith, The Last Taboo, which is published by Saffron Planet. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to The Exchange. Thank you for being with us this evening. Our special guest has been the author, Steve Maltz. We spent a lot of time today talking about what our faith means to us. So as we come towards the end of today's programme, let's celebrate the great things that God has done in our lives through these great testimonies.
Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home.
You know, I think like a lot of people, I've always had some belief that there's something out there. You know, I can't look at a sunset or the countryside without having a feeling that it's something. But I never really wanted to throw my whole behind, you know, a certain religion. I mean, nothing for me is more sort of unattractive than getting religious and all that sort of thing. But once, you know, as a teenager, some people took some time to, I guess I was looking at faiths and looking at things like that, and some people explained what Jesus had done and who he was and what he'd done for me. And it all just slotted into place for me. And that started a spiritual journey really from the age of 14. Where I just discovered more and more about Christ and who he was, and the reality of Christian faith just really nestled into my life from that moment, really. I mean, I can't imagine a life without my Christian faith. It's affected everything. It's affected, you know, finding a marriage partner and obviously the whole of family life. I've got a couple of kids and they're great kids. And, you know, I am a better dad than I would have been because of my Christian faith. I'm certainly not a perfect parent, but I'm a loving dad, and I hope I'm a far more caring dad than I would have been if I didn't have Jesus and if I wasn't seeking to make Jesus a priority in my life.
I was brought up in a Christian family. I went to church for most of my life and kind of got into a routine, and that's what happened. And when I was about 10, I made a commitment, decided that I wanted to become a Christian because I'd been to a Christian event and decided that I felt that it was really real and that God could make a difference in my life. After I'd finished college last year, I decided to do a gap year where I work with my church full time, but I go and study in Bromley 2 days every other week. And it has shown me that God is more real than I could have ever imagined he was, that he can make a huge difference in your life, that he wants to be your father, knowing that God loves me for who I am and that I couldn't do anything that would make him love me more. And that's made a huge difference to my life. It's made me a lot calmer, a lot more relaxed. I used to have really bad panic attacks. And since I found out that God is a father and that he does love me, whatever, it's made my whole outlook on life be completely different.
From the age of 5, when I was at primary school, I wanted to be a doctor. And that was something that I carried through as an ambition for the whole of my life. When I was at medical school, I think I was the first person in 300 years of medical training who'd taken a year out to study the Bible as part of my medical training. And I went to a Bible college for a year and then came back and finished my medical training. And that was the beginning of my prayers and my wondering about whether Christian ministry would be the way forwards. But it was another six or seven years, really, before Dawn, my wife, and I made up our minds finally. Medicine is a calling, and I absolutely loved it. And I wouldn't tell every doctor by any means to leave medicine. But if you look at medicine in the cold light of day, you're trying to keep people going until they die. And you are definitely dealing with issues of life and death, and I found that very challenging and very stretching and very exciting. But in Christian ministry, you're playing for higher stakes, so you're dealing with matters of death and eternal life. And if Christianity is true, and the claims of Jesus are true, then I believe that Christian ministry has to be a higher calling than medicine. You're dealing with issues that are more important.
I had a bad experience on drugs, overdosed. Came round in hospital, came out of hospital. My mind was broken, panic attacks, thinking I was dying. But over a 6-month period, I heard a small voice saying, trust in God. First and second time, I said, I don't need God. I can sort this out myself. But my wife said to me, you have to trust in somebody. She wasn't talking about God. She knew I was going through torment. She said, you must trust in someone. And I had a bath that night. Thought, who can I trust? Went through a list of people in my mind, but a little voice said again, trust in God. Said, I'll trust in you, God, if I go mad or I die. I trust in you. Said a prayer, and the power of God and a joy came upon me. All my anxieties left me, my torment, and I knew there was a God. Found a Bible soon after and gave my life to Jesus. Was full of joy, never slept for a full week. My wife said, are you okay? You haven't slept for 3 or 4 nights. I said, I'm full of joy, there's a God.
Some wonderful testimonies there of how God can move in people's lives. If you've got a testimony that you'd like to share with us, and we'd love to hear from you, please feel free to send us an email to info@twr.org.uk, or you can of course write to us. We'd love to receive your letter. Our address is TWR UK, PO Box 606, Altrincham, WA14 2YS, and just put before the address The Exchange so that we know who the letter's for. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of The Exchange. We'll be back on Monday at 8:30 in the evening, and stay tuned now for Renewing Your Mind.